WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The world of late-night TV is in turmoil in the aftermath of ABC suspending Jimmy Kimmel's show. On CBS, Stephen Colbert, whose own show was canceled effective next spring, criticized comments from the Republican FCC chairman, Brendan Carr.
Carr was quick to reassure everyone, posting, "While this may be an unprecedented decision, it is important for broadcasters to push back on Disney programming that they determine falls short of community values." Well, you know what my community values are, Buster? Freedom of speech.
Over at NBC, Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon.
"To be honest with you all, I don't know what's going on, and no one does, but I do know Jimmy Kimmel, and he's a decent, funny, and loving guy, and I hope he comes back."
President Trump went after Fallon and NBC's Seth Meyers online after Kimmel's suspension. On Air Force One, he was asked if he'll have the FCC's car deal with other shows.
"They give me only bad publicity. Press. I mean, they're getting a license. I would think maybe their license should be taken away. It would be up to Brendan Carr."
The president's expected to talk with Chinese leader Xi Jinping today to finalize a deal on TikTok.
Speaking in the UK, the president said TikTok has great value.
"I like TikTok. It helped get me elected."
The deal, says Trump, would remove China's ownership from the social media app.
"The kind of money we're talking about is very substantial. And it'll be owned by all American investors."
President Trump and the previous administration both cited national security concerns for banning TikTok in the U.S. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Search teams have been combing remote areas of Washington state since June 2nd for Travis Decker, wanted for the murder of his three young daughters. That manhunt may be over now, as the Chelan County Sheriff's Office says they believe they found his remains. KREM-TV's Amanda Rowley is covering the developing story.
During a search involving multiple agencies, deputies found the remains in a remote wooded area south of Leavenworth. At this point, those remains are believed to belong to Decker, but authorities are still working to confirm the identity through DNA.
The committee advising the CDC on vaccine policy wants changes in childhood vaccinations. Correspondent Mark Strassman is following that.
The committee voted to take away the option to give the combined MMRV dose to children under age 4. And they're recommending that MMR and varicella vaccines be given separately for children under age 4.
Today, this new panel will consider COVID-19 and hepatitis B vaccines. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers traveled to Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. Yesterday, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft went down during practice with a knee injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich asked if he saw what happened.
"Yeah, hopefully we'll be all right, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. Obviously, if anyone goes down that you have as a part of your game plan, you'll have to adjust some things. So we'll kind of see what happens with the injury report and everything like that and what the trainers say, and we'll make adjustments."
It appears to not be season ending. College football, the Badgers at home tomorrow at Camp Randall against Maryland. Game time 11 a.m. It's Wisconsin's first conference game of the season. The Brewers with another win. They beat the Angels 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Tonight, the Brewers in St. Louis against the Cards. The magic number now at 4.
"Tough road trip coming up with travel and all that kind of stuff. Night game, travel the next day and play. Can't take anything for granted. Just got to keep banging away."
That's Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies and a few showers and storms out there in the overnight. Lows of the mid-50s, an east breeze. On Friday, a chance of rain picks up a little bit. Some showers and storms, mostly cloudy skies. Highs in the mid-70s, and the wind's a bit breezy. Right now, it's 64.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for lieutenant governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have an incredibly special guest that I think every single one of you should hear what he's got to say. He is former Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He is retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret. He served our country for 25 years. He served and was deployed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Jordan, and the Philippines. Let me set the stage for you. After Mr. Aguilar left our military service, moved by what he saw in Gaza, he joined an organization called UG Solutions to help provide security at some of the food distribution centers in Gaza. Food and other humanitarian aid in Gaza is being distributed by a U.S. and Israeli-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It's called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF. GHF has been delivering this aid into Gaza since late May, and it's crossed maybe about 100 million plus meals have been delivered. However, the United Nations has been reporting that hundreds, if not more than that, of Palestinians have been killed outside GHF sites. Now, there are four sites in Gaza, and many claim that the location of the sites is in an active combat zone. Think about that. Humanitarian aid being distributed in an active combat zone. How are non-combatants supposed to get there? We'll get into all of that. Now, when Mr. Aguilar arrived in Gaza in mid-May of this year, what he saw shocked him. And he filmed some of the desperation and chaos in Gaza. He filmed the use of live ammunition by defense contractors working in conjunction with the Joint U.S.-Israeli Humanitarian Aid Initiative, again also known as GHF. He also saw non-lethal munitions being used for crowd control, because when people are starving to death and you deliver, say, a handful of meals, there's going to be a crowd control problem. And on May 29th of this year, at Site 4, former Lieutenant Aguilar filmed a video in which UG Solutions ultimately posted in full on its website that has led to a whistleblower complaint and his protesting U.S.'s continued involvement and support of Israel in Gaza. I want to take a listen to some of that video from that fateful day in May. Listen carefully.
think you hit one.
Okay. With that, let me introduce to all of you listeners, Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. And first of all, let me begin by saying thank you for your 25 years of distinguished service to our country. I appreciate that, sir.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me, and I appreciate your introduction and description of what the situation is in Gaza. It's very important that the American taxpayer, that Americans understand what's really going on in Gaza.
So let's start sort of big picture. You had served in the military. What motivated you to sign up for a private security contractor, UG Solutions, and go to Gaza?
Well, after my retirement, working for a private...
Oh, I think we just lost Lieutenant Aguilar. We will work to get him back. I want to also play for us this afternoon, Mr. Aguilar, having witnessed... Oh, he is back. Let's try again. Go ahead, sir. You were saying. And maybe check to be sure that you are unmuted. That old trick. Now let's see if we've got Lieutenant Aguilar. We're still not hearing you, sir. I'm going to put a phone number for you to call in the chat. It's 855-752-4842. We'll work to get him back. So let me share with you all the whistleblower complaint from former Lieutenant Aguilar. Again, former Green Beret Special Forces. He describes in his whistleblower complaint, again, the sound from which the day the event occurred, that is the substance of his whistleblower complaint, alleges that UG security forces killed a non-combatant that day. And I'm going to have Jacob replay the sound because you will hear someone say, I think you hit one. So let's take another listen.
I think you hit one.
So, Lieutenant Aguilar, again, you were saying why you decided to join UG Solutions and go to Gaza. Please continue, sir.
Yes, can you hear me now?
No, we can't. Let me give you that phone number, and we're going to have you just call the old-fashioned way. That phone number is 855-752-4842. So in his whistleblower complaint, again, you hear active live ammunition. You hear one of the security contractors, according to Lieutenant Aguilar, say, I think you hit one. And according to his whistleblower complaint, there was then an older man that basically went down. So we are now joined by Lieutenant Aguilar on the phone. So again, set the stage for us. Why did you want to go to Gaza? Why did you sign up?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
Great. So I retired in March of 2025, and I was not looking for contract work or endeavoring to work for a private contract company. I was working at Lowe's Home and Garden, enjoying retirement life, really just focusing on my family. UG Solutions, who is the subcontract entity under the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, called me on May 13th of 2025, recruiting me, stating that they were specifically looking for individuals that had recently retired or recently left the military that had a special operations background. And having served in the military for as long as I had as a Green Beret in special operations, they were pursuing my employment and they were recruiting me. I had never heard of UG Solutions before as a company. I had also not heard of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. That was both of those were new to me. So I explained to the recruiter that, you know, I kind of wanted to read up on it a bit and see what I was potentially getting myself into. And the recruiter said, well, you know, take the afternoon. But, you know, we need to have an answer soon because you're flying, if you, you know, whoever signs under this contract is flying out Saturday. as in the that Saturday, you know, 4 days from there. So, I started to do a little bit of research, and I saw that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was very new. They just stood up and became an entity, an organization, a foundation, if you will, in March timeframe. So right around the time that I retired. And the premise of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was that because UN aid under UNRWA, World Food Program, and other non-government organizations were no longer allowed into Gaza, being blocked by the Israeli government, that there was now no food, no aid, no support in any way going into Gaza, and that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, as an American company in coordination with the Israeli government, would be the mechanism to go in and to provide this aid. From that premise, I felt that this was a noble cause to be a part of, that the blocking of aid going into Gaza was a decision far above anything that I could affect, anything that I have any impact on. And I felt that if this mechanism was going to be delivering food, that they specifically needed individuals that were had experience in operating in combat environments, high stress environments, high risk environments, to deliver food to people that were in dire need, that was something that I should support and I should be a part of, feeding starving people that needed food. And I did not join the effort to be employed by GHF or to be employed by UG Solutions, nor to have a contractor, independent contract career. I specifically signed on for this operation because I wanted to be a part of this specific effort in feeding starving people.
Folks, if you're just joining us again, we've got retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, who has become a whistleblower. I've watched and read a number of your interviews and statements, sir, and you've described what you saw in Gaza as a dystopian post-apocalyptic wasteland. Can you describe these food distribution sites? You were at all four of these GHF-run distribution sites in Gaza, correct?
That's correct.
And can you describe them? We've got just about 2 minutes, sir. Describe them so folks get a picture of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so if you consider during the times of the United Nations delivery, there were 400 sites throughout Gaza. Now under GHF, there were only four. Currently, there are only two. So if you imagine one served 400 sites to population of over 2 million, there's now only two sites, and they're all in the south. These sites, the food was set up on the sites, and it was delivered to the sites, but there was no distribution. It was dropped off and piled up, and the civilians that would wait in these long hours to days long lines to be released to these sites would be released in droves of thousands, far beyond the capacity of how much food was on the site. The sites then turned into these fight for the fittest, or survival of the strongest, fight to get food, the Hunger Games scenario and situation, to where only the strong get food and the weak and the vulnerable get nothing. And around these sites, on these sites, civilians would be fired at or hit with stun grenades or tear gas or pepper spray or live rounds of ammunition fired at them going and coming to the sites. Going to a site to get food became a dangerous game, a very dangerous dilemma for survival for a civilian, in terms of not go and starve to death or go and risk being killed. And we've seen the numbers that have been projected in the hundreds killed at or near the sites is a gross underestimate. It's well over the thousands of people that have been killed in or near these distribution sites.
The Hunger Games, indeed. Folks, you're going to want to stay with us. The conversation continues on the other side with retired Green Beret, U.S. Army Special Forces, and now whistleblower Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. We continue to discuss what happened that fateful day in May and his witnessing of the killing of a civilian attempting to get food. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got an incredibly important guest for everybody to hear from. He is retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He's served in Iraq, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Jordan, and the Philippines over a decorated 25-year career in our military. After retiring from the military, he was recruited by UG Solutions, a security contractor, to help provide security at aid locations run by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a U.S. and Israeli-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It was stood up in February of this year. And as Lieutenant Aguilar just explained, it was stood up to help distribute food and other humanitarian aid after the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces in Israel, decided to no longer permit non-governmental organizations and the UN to distribute food. As Lieutenant Aguilar was describing before the break, before that effective blockade occurred, there were over 400 aid distribution centers across Gaza. Once that was taken over by the GHF, that was reduced to 4, and it has been further reduced. And by Lieutenant Aguilar's account, when food was delivered to these locations, these sites in Gaza, what occurred when people came to get the food because they were starving was effectively the Hunger Games. Crowd control then devolved into using live ammunition potentially on civilians who were simply trying to not starve to death. It was effectively a race for the food, a survival of the fittest, if you will. Lieutenant Aguilar, again, thank you so much for being here. When I hear that, I think to myself, aren't there supposed to be extremely clear rules of engagement and escalation of force and other standard operating procedures? Were you given any of these as a contractor? Were people just ignoring them? What is the accountability here for a contractor that opens up live ammunition and shoots a civilian?
So the assertion that there should be clear rules of engagement, a code of conduct, a standard operating procedure, escalation force measures, absolutely. Those absolutely must be put in place when you are working in such a complex environment, especially when the safeguarding of civilians is paramount. Now, we did not have rules of engagement, standard operating procedures, or escalation of force measures that were prescribed to us, nor trained, nor made clear to us what any of those standards and response measures should be. And now that I, you know, having asked the question why, when I was there under their employment, you know, we need to have a escalation of force procedure, standard operating procedures, rules of engagement. These need to be made clear. And there was a strong resistance to that, almost an acquiescence to just do whatever you feel type of an attitude. And lo and behold, the person in charge, the gentleman in charge of the entire contract in Gaza for the security under UG Solutions is a gentleman who is the national president of the Infidels Motorcycle Club, who hired many of the contractors to work for him that are active patch-wearing members of the Infidels Motorcycle Club. And the Infidels Motorcycle Club, the charter of the club, is to fight against jihad and the elimination of all Muslims. It is a highly Islamophobic, toxic organization. And this is the primary body from which UG Solutions hired contractors to go into Gaza, armed to the teeth with fully automatic weapons, machine guns, stun grenades, and tear gas, to deliver food to a starving population of primarily Arab Muslims. So the fact that there was a lack of any clear guidance on how to engage with the population to prevent death and injury, that wasn't prescribed, nor was it present, was intentional.
My God. That is so horrible. I'm so very rarely rendered speechless, but that's going to do it for me. Folks, if you're just joining us, the man that you just heard speaking, telling us that one of the security contractors that was hired by the U.S. and Israel to secure aid delivery sites in Gaza hired people from a motorcycle club whose express charter states that they seek to kill people who are Muslim. I have no words. Lieutenant Aguilar, let's return to the day that spurred your whistleblower complaint. Can you stick around for another segment, Lieutenant?
Of course.
Oh, great. Because this is so important for people to hear about, and I don't want to rush our discussion at all.
I'm here as long as you need me.
I deeply appreciate that, sir. I'm not going to play the sound now. I just briefly wanted to close that loop. It would seem to me that your weapons and ammunition would be concomitant with the purpose of your mission as a contractor. In other words, civilian protection, crowd control. But you were saying that you had fully automatic weaponry. You were fully armed. Your ammunition was live. Is that a correct understanding?
That is a correct understanding. And your assumption that the armament or the weapons or the tools, if you will, provided should be appropriate to the job of what we were doing, i.e. security. I was armed with more ammunition and more weaponry than I had ever been armed in the United States Army as an infantry officer and a Green Beret. And I went into Gaza more heavily armed than as an SF operator in combat.
My goodness. Folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to continue to talk with Lieutenant Aguilar about his whistleblower complaint. and his activation in protesting the U.S.'s continued support of Israel in what many term a genocide in Gaza. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
CBS News Brief. The Republican chairman of the FCC is praising the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel's show. Brendan Carr told Fox News he'll continue to police show content.
Look, we're going to continue to hold these broadcasters accountable to the public interest. And if broadcasters don't like that, simple solution, they can turn their license into the FCC. There's other things that we can do with it.
CBS's Linda Kenyon reports President Trump will talk today with Chinese President Xi Jinping about the sale of TikTok.
The framework of a deal was announced this week by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, and the talks between President Trump and President Xi are expected to firm that up.
Human remains found in a wooded area of Washington State are believed to be murder suspect Travis Decker, KIRO-TV's L. Thomas.
They were found not far from the girls' bodies and the crime scene at the Rock Island campground. The remains found nearby there at the Grindstone Mountain. They have been sent for testing.
Decker was wanted for the murder of his three daughters. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL. The Packers traveled to Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. Yesterday, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft went down during practice with a knee injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich asked if he saw what happened.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be all right, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. Obviously, if anyone goes down that you have as a part of your game plan, you'll have to adjust some things. So we'll kind of see what happens with the injury report and everything like that and what the trainers say, and we'll make adjustments.
It appears to not be season ending. College football, the Badgers at home tomorrow at Camp Randall against Maryland. Game time 11 a.m. It's Wisconsin's first conference game of the season. The Brewers with another win. They beat the Angels 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Tonight, the Brewers in St. Louis against the Cards. The magic number now at 4.
Tough road trip coming up with travel and all that kind of stuff. Night game, travel the next day and play. Can't take anything for granted. Just got to keep banging away.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first three episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies and a few showers and storms out there in the overnight. Lows of the mid-50s, an east breeze. On Friday, a chance of rain picks up a little bit. Some showers and storms, mostly cloudy skies. Highs in the mid-70s and the winds a bit breezy. Right now, it's 64.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel as we go deep on what Charlie Kirk said, the GOP's response to his assassination, and what is hate speech. Really, don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined for a very special interview by Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret. He served our country honorably for 25 years. After he was retired, just to, again, refresh our recollection of where the conversation was, he was recruited by UG Solutions to provide security at least 4 aid distribution posts in Gaza. UG Solutions is a private security contractor hired by what is known as the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. It's basically a joint U.S.-Israeli-backed, a government-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It was created because Israel blockaded the UN and other NGOs from continuing to distribute aid in Gaza. Someone needed to. Now, what Lieutenant Aguilar has described is that previously, prior to the blockade, there were about 400 locations within Gaza distributing aid. That was reduced to 4, further reduced to 2, resulting in Hunger Games-like circumstances as people raced for foodstuffs that were simply insufficient in number to cover the literal thousands of people that had potentially waited days in line for whatever aid they were able to foot race to and grab before others. This created an environment of chaos, and according to Mr. Aguilar's whistleblower complaint, UG Solutions employees opened live ammunition fire and potentially killed a man on May 29th of this year. I want to talk about that day and what you witnessed. Lieutenant Aguilar, if you can take us through the events as you saw them unfolding, and then we'll play folks the audio from that day.
Sure. So the 29th of May, I was at secure distribution site number 4, which of the 4 sites was the northernmost, located in central Gaza. The site is accessed by primarily civilians coming from the Berij encampment. Mind you, all of central Gaza had been destroyed and leveled to the ground. These people had nowhere to live. They were living in half-encamped shelters in an area that, with no running water and no electricity, they were coming to these sites to get food, which is their only source of food. On that particular day, it was only the third distribution that we had done in the entire mission, so to speak. We'd started on the 27th of May, distributed on the 27th, the 28th. This was our third iteration of distribution. Once distribution was complete with regards to the food being gone, as it was on many distribution, once the food is gone, you still have a matriculation of people coming onto the site because they line up in droves. And as they come to the site and the food's gone, they have to process through the site in order to leave the site to go back where they came. They can't just turn around on the road that they're on or they'll get shot at by the IDF. So as the group was leaving, the last bit of the group of people that was leaving had been there at the end, and they were picking up food from the ground, picking up scraps of food. There were no boxes. And mind you, we're not providing these civilians with meals. We're providing them with boxes of the raw ingredients to which they can make a meal. Raw ingredients such as rice, noodles, flour that require water to prepare, and we're not providing them any water whatsoever. So we're sending them away essentially empty-handed with food that they can't even cook. This group of Palestinians that was walking away from the site consisted of the elderly and children. And some of the children had stopped and asked, you know, when will there be more food? When will there be more food? And the UG Solutions contractors were shooing them away and throwing stun grenades and tear gas to get them to continue to move away from the site. This individual, a United States citizen, a U.S. contractor from UG Solutions, standing on the berm that faces south from this site, opened fire on this crowd of individuals to shoo them away, to keep them going the south away from the site. At this point, they were about 160 meters away from the site. They weren't near the site. Their backs were turned to us. They were walking away. They weren't armed. They weren't posing a threat. They were doing nothing at all wrong. Their crime, they came to get food. That's what their crime was in the eyes of this individual. And as he opened fire on them, you can hear in the video a large sustained round of gunfire. That's 30 rounds coming out of the magazine of an automatic assault rifle. 30 rounds coming out of an assault rifle is an entire magazine of ammunition. That isn't an accident. That isn't a warning shot. That is intentional. That is intentionally shooting live ammunition at a group of civilians. And as he's firing, you can hear in the video, he proclaims with a woohoo. And another contractor who's standing level with me on the ground, looking out the gate that I'm looking at, where I see the individual fall to the ground, he says, "I think you got one." What he's referring to is a human being. A human being is a, "you got one." And then the other individual who's standing on the berm who is firing calls out with, "Hell yeah, boy." That is murder. That's not self-defense. That's not operating within rules of engagement or a standard operating procedure. That is murder. Shooting at and endangering and killing an unarmed civilian non-combatant who simply came to a site to get food, and you're then shooting at them out of sport or shooting at them to get them to shoo them away like they're animals. That is murder. It is dehumanizing. And the day that that happened and I brought that to the attention of the leadership with video, it was disregarded as, well, you don't know if the individual that fell because he was shot. He may have tripped. Maybe he was tired. And he never got up. Mind you, the person that adjudicated this, the person that adjudicated or from his level that someone was shot or not and whether or not anything should be done about it, is the national president of the Infidels Motorcycle Club. Just keep that in mind. That's how that day went down. The IDF didn't shoot at them. It wasn't Hamas. It wasn't a gang. It was an American contractor opening fire and shooting at an unarmed civilian who he and his family had come to the site to get food. That was his crime.
Folks, let's take a listen to what happened that day.
I think you hit one.
Hell yeah, boy!
I want to read a statement that GHF provided to PBS News when you were interviewed by them. It says, quote, "No Gazan civilians have been shot by UG Solutions personnel, period. The contractor you're referring to was encouraging IDF fire and was immediately disciplined and terminated for unprofessional conduct." Another affidavit submitted by UG says this, quote, "I did not witness any UG personnel firing warning shots in the direction of civilians. Regarding Tony Aguilar's allegations, I believe they are inaccurate and do not align with UG Solutions' strict policies and training on the use of force." A further comment from a UG spokesman, excuse me, this was from a GHF spokesman, said this, quote, "UG Solutions operates under a tiered escalation of force policy that includes warning shots when absolutely necessary to protect civilians, maintain order, and prevent violence during critical aid distributions." Let's listen again to what happened that day. You tell me what you hear.
I think you hit one.
Hell yeah, boy!
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Lieutenant, it is disgusting.
The GHF's lies to obfuscate and cover that up is even more disgusting. That is not the IDF shooting. The IDF have categorically denied that they were shooting. In the first place, the weapon that's being fired does not sound like the weapons that the IDF fire. What's being fired is a fully automatic assault rifle. The IDF aren't near or on the site. The Israeli Defense Forces are not on our sites. They are on the outside of the sites. In this particular location, they were not near the site during that time. They were outside to the south, but further away. that gunfire that you hear that's being recorded off of my phone is coming within feet from where I am standing. And I am not off the site. I'm on the site. What you hear of the hell yeah boy, and then I think you got one, and then woohoo, those aren't the IDF. Those are Americans. There were no stringent escalation of force procedures or protocols. There were none at all. The individual that filled out the affidavit stating that he didn't see that happen that day was the individual on the site who was in charge, responsible for what happened on the site. His name is Michael Rice, another member of the Infidels Motorcycle Club, who, if that were true, he would also then be implicit, complicit in what happened. Of course he is going to lie. Notice that on these affidavits that GHF provided, they don't provide any names. So throughout this entire process, GHF refuses to provide names, refuses to take accountability, and deny everything when it's clearly shown on video, and it's clearly shown in audio and in pictures. And there are clear witness testimony from the Palestinians that are being shot at, from me who saw it happen, from the doctors at the hospitals in the vicinity of these sites that have mass casualty incidents every time we do a distribution, who receive patients with gunshot wounds, not Israeli Defense Force bullets, with bullets that the Americans are using. Green tip, 5.56 automatic weapons fire bullets. The IDF don't use those. It is the Americans that shot at that man and killed that man. The IDF in the coming days have even come out and have themselves testified that they are ordered to shoot at civilians. And the UG Solutions personnel shooting at the civilians, there is no way to explain that away. And I would further add, if this individual that was shooting didn't do anything wrong, why did GHF fire him? If I were that individual and I didn't do anything wrong and GHF fired me, I would be filing a wrongful termination suit. Why did they fire him? They fired him because what he did was wrong. And they didn't fire him that day or the next day or the day after. They didn't fire him until that story hit from the Associated Press in early July. I know he wasn't fired because when I left Israel on the 26th of June, he was still there. So they are lying. They have a motive to lie. They have an inherent reason to lie. Because if the truth is known, they, with others that committed these crimes, will go to prison. Of course they're going to lie.
Folks, that is Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He was in Gaza working with UG Solutions on behalf of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a government, a joint U.S. and Israeli-backed aid initiative in Gaza. He's describing what would be, according to international law, a war crime, and that is the intentional killing of a non-combatant civilian. Lieutenant Aguilar, what was your status in Gaza legally as a security contractor? We just have about a minute. What was your status legally speaking?
We entered the country of Israel and therefore into Gaza armed to the teeth with weaponry on a tourist visa. We entered the country on a B2 tourist visa. $25, paid online, walk through the gate, scan your passport, you get a tourist B2 visa. We were there as tourists.
Folks, stay with us. We're going to talk about Lieutenant Aguilar's protests, his advocacy that he has engaged in since returning from Israel in June. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners.
The Kitchen's Open, brought you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Today we're talking with retired Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He retired from the U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret after 25 years of distinguished service, deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, and a number of other countries. He then worked for a security contractor, UG Solutions. They were hired by the Joint U.S.-Israeli Humanitarian Aid Initiative, also known as the GHF. He blew the whistle because on May 29th of this year, he witnessed what is, according to international law, a war crime. And that is a security contractor killing an unarmed non-combatant civilian. Right before the break, we were talking about what the legal status of these security contractors are when they enter these countries with, according to Lieutenant Aguilar, more armaments, more munitions than he ever entered a combat zone as a Green Beret, literally armed to the teeth. And you were sharing, Lieutenant Aguilar, that you were there on a tourist visa. How are they getting the arms in?
Well, so the, what was another interesting aspect of this operation is that it was all done very, very covertly, very hush-hush and secretly in terms of us entering Gaza, entering Israel on a tourist visa, but then also not only on the tourist visa, but then the overt exercise of ensuring that we had no affiliation with the GHF or UG Solutions, making sure that on our Israeli visa that we did not mention who we were working for or what we were doing. That was concerning. When we got into Israel, all of the weapons that we received, the pistols, the rifles, the machine guns, the munitions, were all provided by an Israeli company that is known as IWI, or Israeli Weapons Incorporation, that is Israeli owned by Israeli oligarchs that were providing the weapons and the ammunition. So when you start tying those pieces together, when you see an organization that is primarily employed by individuals from the Infidels Motorcycle Club, using weapons purchased in country from a third party who happens to also be the people within the Israeli government that want to see the realization of this this new Gaza resort real estate concept. And you start putting those pieces together, you start to see a pretty clear picture of this puzzle that all of this is deliberate, intentional, and by design. The genocide, the starvation, the displacement, the violence, it's all designed. It was all planned from the beginning. This is not an accident. And the United States, through backing of the GHF, with taxpayers' dollars, mind you, $30 million, $30 million more coming. When Americans back home can't put food on the table or fill their car with gas or don't know if they're going to be able to pay their mortgage next month, we're spending over $60 million to an organization that is hand in hand with the Israeli government in committing a genocide. And that's a fact. That is a fact that America has to own. And if we don't, we're disingenuous to ourselves and to our values.
I want to share with folks some sound of you engaging your First Amendment rights to protest. This was September 13th of this year at a congressional hearing. Folks, let's take a listen.
The United States government is complicit in genocide.
Don't touch him.
You have an obligation to the Constitution of the United States.
Eddie.
I'm a disabled veteran.
Eddie. There's a genocide! There's a genocide! Stop!
We're all complicit in genocide!
Stop filming, ma'am.
As well, officer.
Stop the bomb!
Ma'am.
Shame on you!
Hi there,
talk to the camera.
Why are you
talking? Hi there, talk. You're
arresting us for speaking out against genocide.
Stop the bomb!
The U.S.
Stop
Congress
the bomb!
Is paying
stop
for the death of children.
That was my guest today protesting at a congressional hearing on September 13th. And to just fill out some of the information that you mentioned, Lieutenant Aguilar, in June 2025, the State Department, which now oversees foreign aid, approved a $30 million grant to the GHF, basically to hire these private security contractors to oversee aid delivery. But that's not the sum total of U.S. aid to Israel. In April 2024, Congress passed an Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Act that included $3.5 billion in foreign military financing grants to Israel, as well as $5.2 billion in missile defense systems. That arms seller that Lieutenant Aguilar mentioned before, an Israeli-based arms seller, the armaments that they sold to the contractor UG Solutions that Lieutenant Aguilar worked for, those were American-made munitions. Lieutenant Aguilar, you're on your way to D.C. now. What do you want the listeners to know about the situation in Gaza and the transparency and accountability of the U.S. government in their actions in Gaza?
Well, as you heard in my protests, I wasn't there protesting against some cause or a movement or a political party or a bill. I asked the members of our Congress to abide by the Constitution. What I think it's important for listeners to understand, because they may not understand the nuance in terms of my military service. I served in the United States Army as an officer. I was not enlisted. I was not a non-commissioned officer. I was an officer. And when I commissioned from West Point and I put my right hand in the air and I put my left hand on a Bible, I swore an oath to the Constitution. And that's what I'm continuing to do. And that's what I will do in D.C. And that's what I will continue to do with members of our Congress.
We thank you for your service, Lieutenant. We thank you for your activism. We thank you for being here with us today. Folks, that's going to do it for me. Yeah, thank you so much, sir. Safe travels. That's going to do it for me today. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for our Constitution.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. There appears to be a break in the hunt for Travis Decker, the Washington State man wanted for the murder of his three young daughters last spring. The Chelan County Sheriff's Office says drones and cadaver dogs helped find human remains believed to be Decker's in a remote wooded area near the town of Leavenworth. KIRO-TV Samantha Lomibo is there.
The sheriff says there's still DNA testing to be done to confirm this is Travis Decker. But here's what they did find. Deputies say they discovered clothing similar to what Decker was wearing when he was last seen, along with personal items believed to be his in a very decomposed body.
Personnel from a range of state and federal agencies had searched hundreds of square miles, much of it mountainous and remote, since June 2nd. Flying home from Britain, President Trump said he's not worried about filling the airtime vacated by the suspended Jimmy Kimmel Live